promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
And now it's time for the best morning show on radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio in Studio City, California. Get ready for Sam in the Morning.
Good morning and welcome to Friday. It's May 24th. We're back with you live as always. I don't know how I make it every morning here, you know? I mean, I try. It's so hard to get up in the morning, man. So thank you for joining us. We're getting ready for Memorial Day. I hope you guys are, well, listening, but on your way somewhere. I'm not going anywhere. But then again, I never do. Welcome to the show. I have a very special guest in the studio, and her name is Erin Darling.
Yep.
I love the name, my darling.
Thank you.
I'm sure people tease you about this all the time.
You know, it's so funny. Only when I'm in LA do people ask if my name is real or not. They're like, oh, that's a stage name. There's no way that's real. And I'm like, no, that's actually my real, my actual name.
Really?
Yeah, but anywhere that's else cool. I go in the country, no one ever asks, but it's always in LA.
It's just here, huh?
Yeah, they just assume I made it up or something.
Yeah, because everybody makes up names here, I'm telling you.
Nobody's name is real. Is your name real, Sam?
My name is real. That's my name. Right. That's my name. I am thinking of changing my last name, though, to stay in entertainment, you know?
Right.
Some people just need a better sounding name, but you were born with one.
Yeah, like,
which is cool.
You know what I don't get? I don't get that whole trend of the whole, like, the two first names, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like the Jessica Jane or whatever, you know? I don't. I hate that.
Yeah, I know. Well,
Madison,
you know,
Ashley. Like, that's not your name. That's not your name.
Yeah, it's
Let's
someone
just
else's
be honest
name.
Here.
Yeah.
That's your middle name.
Yeah, there you
What's
go.
What's going on?
So I take it you're probably not originally from LA, right?
Well, I'm not. I'm from the Bay Area, from San
Jose originally.
Wow. Yeah.
How cool. It's nice up there. So so San Jose is like what, a little south of San Francisco, right? Like southeast.
It's about 45 minutes south. It's the Silicon Valley.
Right.
You know all the tech companies. That's what my father did or does.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's where I come from, and I moved down to LA for school.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
How long ago?
It was about, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you moved by yourself down here?
Yeah, I came here to go to USC.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm a Trojan.
Wow.
Yeah.
We got a smart cookie over here. Be careful, man. I better be careful about what I say, man. I might look stupid.
But yeah, I just stayed out here. And ever since then, I've been doing TV hosting and radio and podcasts and stand-up comedy.
Sounds good. Now, how were you able to get into USC? You must have been a pretty good student, huh?
Well, you know what? I had a special in.
Really?
No, not really. No, I like just worm my way there.
Yeah, might as well. What the heck, you know?
No, actually, I transferred there. I went to LMU for 2 years, which is also a small private school in LA.
Yeah.
If anyone listening out here is not from the area.
Right.
Basically,
they would never hear of it.
Yeah, you wouldn't know what it was. That's partially why I left.
Yeah.
Because there's 4,000 kids. I originally thought I went to a really small conservative Christian school growing up in the Bay Area, and I thought I wanted my college experience to be smaller, and I wanted, you know, like a tight-knit campus with like a few amount of students. I don't know. I was really intimidated by like the UCs and the,
like
big,
the big
schools,
schools,
and I thought I'd be like lost in the shuffle with all these students in these large classrooms, and that made me really nervous, and I thought that I wanted to go to a small school, but once I got to a small school after being there for about a year, I was like, all right, what am I doing? Let's get out of here. I want to go to a football game. I want to go to a school that has a bigger sense of community and pride,
right,
which I found at USC. And plus, I wanted to study broadcast journalism, and LMU didn't have a program for that. So I transferred over to USC because they have pretty much the best program. Annenberg School of Journalism is amazing, and I was trained there in broadcasting and print journalism and online, so I kind of learned a lot about what I wanted to do, and it really, really prepared me and helped me in It's awesome. Been so, yeah, it's one of the best decisions I ever made in my life was really? The transfer, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm really
good
glad.
Good for you. Now, so you took broadcast journalism in USC and stuff, and now what drew you to that that major? Why did you want to get into that?
Well, you know, it's a funny story, but originally I thought that I'd go into print journalism. When I was in high school, that's what I thought I wanted to go into, and I wanted to write. But then I kind of realized that I wanted to be in front of the camera as well, and that I have a fun personality, and I started doing some random hosting gigs when I was 17, actually, back in San Jose. Yeah, for a public access TV station, and I don't know how it happened, but they had me go around to, like, dance conventions or like the local Mexican restaurant. I don't know how these people had a budget. Like I have no idea how this happened, but they found me and I was working with this producer and a camera guy and we'd do all this random stuff like covering anything and any possible festival or event that was happening in San Jose or the areas surrounding. And that's kind of when I had my first taste of being in front of a camera and I loved it. I had so much fun and I liked talking to people and interviewing people and seeing what their lives were about or, you know, what made them excited, why they were there at that particular event or, you know, like the chef in the restaurant, like what was he making? I had a great time doing that whole thing and learning about people. And that's kind of when I started thinking I might want to be in front of a camera more than maybe just print journalism.
Sounds good. Yeah. Now, you're not attracted to like acting, modeling, things like that? You're more
I
like
mean, of
focused
course I've
on
done
this.
All of that. This is LA. I mean, you do everything, right? I don't choose to market myself as a model. Let's just put it that way. I'm not really interested in that side of things.
How come? Is it like too boring, too unchallenging for you?
I mean, I've done modeling before, and it's not that it's boring. I actually respect people that are able to make a career off of it because that's hard. And I think that it's one of the most challenging things about modeling in my experience is that you have to be so self-aware and you have to know exactly how you look, but from the camera's perspective. And that's hard to do. Okay, you know, you have to like know, okay, if I move my body this way, that's how it's going to look. For the photographer, you know, these are how the prints will become. And I think the best models are very aware of their bodies and very conscious of how they can portray a certain feeling or mood or their sexuality.
Right,
just,
with poses
just with,
and
like,
stuff.
The way that you move your shoulder. You know, it's amazing. Right. I really respect models.
Wow.
But for me, it just wasn't.
Yeah,
you know, I want to talk.
Yeah.
I want to talk. I want to make people laugh. I want to be engaging. So it's kind of hard for me to, you know, to be on set and be talking to everyone. They're like, okay, Aaron, but now we're just going to, you have to stop, shut up. We're going to take some pictures of you. And so,
it's not, it doesn't fit your personality.
Yeah. I was like, maybe I should do something else.
Cool. So you spent the 4 years at USC?
Two.
2 years?
Yeah.
Oh, because you did the 2 years at LMU.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. And, so, I mean, what was it like? Did you, you said you were a little intimidated, but once you joined, were you intimidated by other students? I mean, because you'd imagine there's a lot of smart people there, right?
Yeah, I mean, for me, the whole, being a transfer is difficult. And I think that anyone out there listening that has been in a situation where you have to jump into groups that already exist, whether it's, you know, at work, starting a new job, or whether it's, you know, joining a club or some sort of social situation, at any point when you're jumping into a whole world that's been going on without you for 2 years before you got there, it's a difficult transition. It was not easy for me, but luckily I was able to really dive into my major, get involved, and I was in a sorority at the time, so I was able to kind of make friends there.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't, you know, it wasn't it wasn't super hard, I guess, but I did go through a period where things were rough and I felt kind of alone.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
I did.
Yeah.
Just for a couple of months, though, and then I realized, you know, I was happy and I loved what I was doing. And, you know, I transferred from a school in L.A. to a school in L.A., so I could still see my friends, you know, I could still hang out with them if I wanted to, my old friends, but at the same time, make new friends and establish new connections and relationships.
Yeah, that's what's cool about that.
Yeah.
You know? So now why did you want to move from the Bay Area? I mean, they've got some good schools there and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So what made you want to move here? I mean, were you like attracted to LA for some reason or?
I've always loved LA.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's my inner tourist or like my inner, I don't know what it was, but I've.
Well, maybe you belong in entertainment. That's why you ended up here. You
know? I mean, I kind of, I grew up coming to LA a lot because I do have family here. Mm. My uncle's actually a music producer who actually lives really close to the studio.
Really?
Yeah, it's funny. But yeah, we'd always visit him and I don't know. I always thought that I wanted to be in LA and I wanted to get away from the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Not that the schools aren't amazing. You know, I would have been, I don't know, just, I think I would have had a lot of fun at Cal or Stanford, but.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just ended up here.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. It also gives you an opportunity to get away from your parents, find yourself, you know, find your independence and stuff.
Get away from those parents.
Yeah.
They're great. I love my parents. I miss them so much.
I'm sure. Did you have a pretty good childhood when you were young?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Really? You have siblings?
Yeah, I have a little brother.
Uh-huh.
He actually lives out here, too. He's also in music production, and he's a studio engineer.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, I mean, my parents have been... I was really lucky. They're so supportive of me always.
They are.
Yeah, they've always believed in me and had my back, and they've been amazing. They've been so – I've been very, very lucky to have them in my corner, you know, because it's not easy.
Yeah.
You know, Sam, being here in L.A.
I guess I do.
Things in the entertainment, it's so competitive, and, you know, there's, like, someone right behind you that wants your job always. So it's really important
That's
to have
true.
People that believe in you and people that support you and – you know, think you're going to kick ass.
Definitely,
can I say that?
You know,
can I say that?
You can say whatever the fuck you want.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
Yeah. And so now, so your dad is in high tech. Is your mom too? Does she work? I mean,
she was.
She
went on maternity leave about 26 years ago.
Oh, okay.
But hasn't returned ever since.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's what I was wondering about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, some people, some women take advantage of it. It's like, oh, I like not working. That's cool. But she focused on raising you guys and stuff, so that's cool, you know. So you have a lot of family back there, too?
In the Bay Area?
Yeah.
I have a lot. A lot of my extended family is in the Bay Area, whether it's San Jose or San Francisco, Berkeley, Santa Cruz.
Do you have family in other parts of the world, the country?
Yeah, actually, it's funny. My dad's mom. So this is I'm half Mexican. I don't think you know this
really?
About me. Yeah, my mom.
No, I don't.
My mom was born in Mexico.
Wow.
Yeah, whenever I tell people that I'm Mexican, they always assume it's like my dad is the Mexican one. You know, like he's like some construction worker on the side of the road that's like, hey, mommy, and like some white girl walks by and that's my mom. I don't know. That's like the romantic story that people are concocting in their mind when I'm telling them about my ethnic background. But it's funny because actually, it's my dad's mom that lives in South America.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's the other funny thing. Yeah. Whenever I tell people, I like my grandma. Her name is Sabra. She lives in Guyana. And they're first of all, people are like, what? What is that?
What's
Guyana? They always think I mean Ghana. Like, in Africa? I'm like, no, Guyana in South America. And they always think it's my mom's mom.
Right.
I'm like, no, actually, it's my dad's mom. It's like a little twist of fate or something there.
Well, Guyana was in the news like 30 years ago with, what's his name, Jim Jones or something?
Jonestown, Oh my gosh, I'm glad you know about that. Because whenever I tell people, I'm like, with like the cult and everything, they're like, no, that wasn't there. They're like so many cults, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, how often do you hear about like a crazy cult where everyone dies?
Yeah,
you know,
drinking the punch and
not
dying,
that
you know?
Often do you hear that story, right?
It was a pretty big story at the time, I remember.
Yeah, it was. And that's like their claim to fame, which is so sad.
Right.
I'm like, the place where everyone killed themselves. Yeah, that's where my grandma lives.
So she lives there. So, so where was your dad born there? Was he born there too?
No, my dad was born in San Francisco.
Okay, so how did she end up in San Francisco, your grandma?
Well, she's from there too.
Oh, okay.
She's from San Francisco.
And she moved to Guyana?
Yeah, she
moved. Wow, who would move there?
I know.
Out of all places in the world. My God. I thought she
Guyana.
Was originally from there.
So. No, well, actually, okay, this is interesting too. Oh my gosh, I'm like getting really into my family here. But my grandmother became Baha'i. Mm. Are you familiar with this religion?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she converted to Baha'ism. Mm. I don't know if that's the way. The belief of Baha'u'llah, I don't know. So basically, she became Baha'i and moved to South America to do kind of missionary work.
Oh, That explains it.
Yeah, I mean, she makes libraries and teaches kids how to read and stuff like that and married this amazing man who's great. And they moved out there together.
Wow.
Yeah, to, I guess, kind of be there to better the city that they live in.
Wow.
Yeah.
I admire that, you know? I mean, to go to a place you don't really know and to help people out and stuff is pretty good, you know?
Yeah, and it's dangerous, too. It's not, like, the most safe place. It's not the most healthy place, either, you know?
Right.
It's kind of third world over there. And, you know, like, they took a lot of risks and just decided that's what they wanted to do. And
Yeah.
They've been out there for a really long time.
Wow.
Like all of my childhood.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you ever been there? Did you travel there?
No, I haven't been there. And part of me wants to. Mm. A part of me really, really wants to go see what their life is like out there and visit them and see that world. But another part of me is really, really hesitant because I know, and this is going to sound so dumb, but my aunt and my uncle went to visit them, and one of the shots that you're not required to have, but they suggest you do it, is for elephantitis. And they decided, well, what are the odds we're going to get elephantitis? We don't need that. But they went, and seriously, when they stepped out of the airport, it was like every other person. It was rampant. Like, there's so many people that have elephantitis.
Really?
And so, yeah, so they went to go get the shot there rather than risk it.
Oh, my God.
But, I mean, it's kind of interesting when you think about other countries that aren't as fortunate as us or don't have, you know, regulated health care systems that are, as effective as ours. Or maybe they can't afford it. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah.
But
well, nobody's advanced as we are, you know. I mean, the thing is we've left everybody behind a long time ago. But, you know, yeah, I mean, some places are like, you know, they're, you know, time forgot.
Yeah, and
time forgot.
Yeah, it just makes me a little bit nervous to travel there.
Yeah. Do you like to travel? Have you traveled other places?
I do love to travel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's pretty much everyone, right?
Yeah, I've
How can you not like travel? Some people actually don't. But have you been to any interesting places at all?
Yeah, well, I lived in Paris for a while, and I lived in Oxford. I studied there.
Oh, you studied?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Was that after your school here?
Yeah.
After
it was like in between. It was for a summer study program.
So what was Paris like? Did you like it?
Oh, wow. It's an amazing city.
Really?
Yeah, I really love Paris.
Wow. Did you learn French?
I studied French there, but I can't say that I know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I studied French for 3 years in high school. And so I can understand a lot, but I can't really speak it. I mean, to put the words together in French is so hard, you know?
I know, and it gets all mixed up with my Spanish, too.
Yeah.
You know, all these Latin languages, they just jumble in my mind.
I know, but they're similar in many ways, French and Spanish, you know,
yeah,
in a lot of different ways. So that's cool, and also there's words that are similar in English, so it's kind of easy to pick it up, you know? But French is a very hard language as opposed to Spanish, for example, because first of all the words are not spelled the way they sound at all, you know?
Yeah.
They add extra letters for no reason at all, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And stuff.
Well,
but
so does our language. So is English.
Yeah, well, yeah,
how
I guess.
How do you explain some of those words?
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
What does that say?
Oh, man. But so you went to like an English-speaking school or was it in French?
When I lived in Paris.
When you lived in Paris.
I went to, well, actually, this is kind of interesting. I was studying modern French theater, like avant-garde, Dada, surrealist, like playwriting and theater. And so I studied in English. Mm-hmm. I read translated plays, a lot of them, and also plays that were written in English originally. And I went to this huge festival that they have every year in Avignon. Mm-hmm. And there is kind of, it's like, I don't know how to describe it. It's just like a huge, huge party with tons and tons of plays. They're so weird. There's like eyeballs falling from the sky and like you don't understand anything. And it's all like symbolism and metaphors. But it's really, really fun.
Yeah.
And I really, really fell in love with it there. And that's what I was studying. And I was writing an avant-garde play at that period of time.
In English, though.
In English. While I was studying French, I wasn't advanced enough into French to,
I know,
to think
hard.
That I could master that. I mean, writing a play is hard enough.
Yeah, I know.
But it was really fun. I mean, that's something I'll probably never do again.
Yeah.
You know, I'd go back. I'd live in Paris. I'd go back. I'd visit for sure. But I don't know if I'd ever delve into the avant-garde playwriting again.
Really?
So,
why is that?
Well, because now I write comedy, and I love comedy, and that really inspires me and, you know, fuels my fire, and I don't know if I could go back to writing all the weird stuff, because as fun as it was more like a different period of time in my life, and I don't know if I could get inspired by it again.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it would take something really special for me to like, want to do that again.
Right. So, obviously, you like to write. I mean, you mentioned it a few times. And was that something from early on that you liked to do?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
You should see the stuff that my parents have. It is so funny.
Really?
I have been an avid diary keeper.
Wow.
Since probably the age of scribbling.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I have always, my parents had always given me diaries. And so I'd always write stuff in them, whether it was stuff that was going on in my life or ideas I've had. Even as a kid, I was always writing short stories, and I was like that one ambitious kid in second grade that when we all had to write like a book, you know, a book is 5 pages when you're in second grade, by the way. It's like 10 if you're smart. My book was like 40. I was like, I'm going to write the longest book of everyone in class, and it was all illustrated, and it was kind of a story that I stole a little bit, let's be honest. I mean, it was like based off of a book that I had read, and I made my own variation of it. It wasn't like completely an original piece of work. Yeah, but it was based off of the story of this doll that was a ballerina dancer that comes to life. And I'd read something about that in the past, and I like created my own. It was like a sequel, like kind of my own storyline for this character, for this doll. And I just really got into it.
Wow, that's cool. Now, I don't get the diary thing, though. I mean, why would you want everybody to get into your mind and know everything that you think?
Well,
eventually it's going to fall into someone's hands, you know?
Well, it did, actually. It's funny. My mother ended up reading some of my high school diaries, which was really embarrassing. I got in trouble for some stuff that way.
Really?
But I mean, it's always supposed to be personal. And now, I mean, with the internet, and there are other ways that it can be more personal, where you can like put a lock on it online or like have some sort of private record where people really can't
get into
it. But I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, they were kind of like someone could have stolen and took a look at all of my thoughts and my feelings and my scribbles and my doodles.
So people do this to sort of like sort out your thoughts, document what you're thinking, what you're feeling. What's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. I can't think of it. But it's sort of like well, fuck it. I don't know what I was going to say.
Well, I mean, I think the reason why I liked to do it was because I...
Catharsis. That's the friggin' word I was looking for.
It was cathartic to do it. I think that, I mean, there's a couple reasons why. When I got older, I liked to record what I was thinking and feeling and kind of like events that were interesting to me that day. But I think when I was younger, I just had ideas and I wanted to express them somehow. You know, I wanted to get them out, whether it was like the stuff I wrote when I was younger. I've actually read some of it and it's just ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's just like creative, imaginative stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a kid, there's only a certain like number of outlets that you have to express that. You know, maybe it's drawing or painting or, you know, maybe it's writing, or if you have some sort of talent, like if you're a performer, you can express it like that, I guess. But for me, it was writing. That's how I kind of got all that stuff out.
Wow, that's cool. And now you write too, right? I mean, you continue to write and stuff. So you write comedy now?
Yeah.
Really?
I write comedy. I have a sketch comedy group, and we write sketches together, and we also have a couple of pilots. We just shot this one called Beer Pong Girls. Yeah, it's about two girls are up and coming in the world of professional beer pong. It's a sports comedy. It's so much fun. We shot it. We shot it in a half pilot and submitted it to a Comedy Central festival, which was great. I mean, that was so much fun. And we did it so fast. We're like, wow, I can't believe we literally shot it in like a month.
Really?
And put it through post-production in a month. And we're blessed to have a lot of amazing people working on our team. So it was a really, really fun experience. And now we're trying to figure out what we want to do next, if we're going to pitch online, if we're going to you know, kind of develop it a little bit more as a series. So we're kind of in the process of figuring all that stuff out.
Awesome.
Which is, it's fun. It's a little adventure for me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and especially when you write something and then it becomes a play or a show, you know, it's like your baby. And, you know, you see it come to life. It's amazing, I think, you know. And just like, you know, when people write books and then it turns into a movie or something, you know, and they're like, wow, I can see it on the big screen now, you know.
Yeah, so it's really fun. It's fun because I think when we set out to write it, we always knew we were going to shoot it. Mm-hmm. So we wrote with the intention of seeing it, you know, one day, shot, edited, completed.
Right.
But some of the way that things like came together, I could have never anticipated.
Really?
Yeah, because we knew who the three characters were. Like my sketch partners are Aaron Coker and Jay Ossing, who are so talented, and we met over at UCB.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew who our characters were, but we started writing these other characters, and then we started casting them and having ideas of who we wanted. We're kind of like, gosh, who would make a good like villain character, you know? And ended up being this comic that I knew. I was like, oh my God, he'd be great. We need to have him. And then he was able to do it.
Right.
And, you know, we had this other friend who was like his sidekick, who's a friend of mine that I know from the hosting world. And we got him to do it. I don't know. It's just kind of all the people that we knew that came together that brought these characters to life that we didn't know when we were writing. We're like, wow, that's nuts. How'd that all happen? And, you know, they made these characters, I think, even better. Like, they put their own thing into it, like their own physicality and spin that we didn't anticipate when we're writing. We're kind of like writing lines for characters that we hadn't imagined yet.
Right.
So that was
awesome. Wow, that's cool. So, I mean, would you make a career out of this? Is writing...
I want to.
Yeah?
Somebody hire me.
Yeah, there
you
go. You
guys are listening.
Well,
anyone.
But you've got a lot of different talents, you know? I mean, you should probably pursue everything.
My main source of income, my main jobs are hosting. So TV hosting and web hosting. But, I mean, I would love... Like, nothing would probably excite me more than to be able to be like a Whitney Cummings or Chelsea Handler, you know, like I want to sell a script. I want to see my projects made on TV and
You know, I think you have a lot to offer. You seem talented and smart and stuff.
Thank you.
I don't see why not, you know. And so you like comedy. I mean, do you do any stand up or anything?
Yeah, I do.
Do you?
I do stand up. Yeah, I've been doing it for about 2 years now, so I'm really new to it. I mean, I feel like comics get good like 5 to 10 years in, you know?
Yeah.
So I know I'm going through that really young phase where I'm still figuring out my material and I'm, you know, trying to figure out what makes me, you know, like what makes my voice different than any other, you know, mid-20s female comic. So I'm still working on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I get up and I perform. I've been, you know, at the Conway Store.
Really? It doesn't make you nervous or anything? I mean, when you get on stage there and I mean, do you ever bomb?
I always get nervous.
Really?
I always get nervous. Yeah, well, I think because a lot of it's me. A lot of it's in my head because when I get up there and I'm telling a joke, especially if it's a newer joke, I have material I've been doing for a while. You know, I have jokes that I know pretty much always work and, you know, in certain rooms depending on the audience. But there's some newer ones that I think are a little more like cerebral that I don't know if people are appreciating as much.
Right.
But those are the ones that I love.
Yeah.
I love those jokes. I'm like, God, do I cut them? Do I try them and see how they're received and like make a decision after that? It's all of those decisions that you make on the fly that make me nervous. I'm kind of like, oh, gosh.
You don't know.
Like
if
you always want people to laugh.
Yeah, obviously.
You know, that's your job as a comic. You have to make people laugh. But it's kind of figuring out the material that crowd is going to like.
Right.
You know.
And in the process you get booed and things like that.
Oh, I've never gotten booed.
No.
Sometimes I get the joke's a little raunchy or a little like absurd. And
or
like,
they just get very quiet, right? They're like, no, I wasn't funny on that joke. If they but yeah, I don't know. I think it would be fun to do, but I don't think I could do it, you know. And I mean I'm comfortable in front of audience, you know. I mean, I've been in music all my life. I used to sing and play guitar and all that in front of people, so I don't have a problem there. But because I was confident in my talent, I guess. But comedy, I would be so scared to bomb, you know. I mean, I would just, I don't know, man. It's so hard to make people laugh from jokes, you know. I mean, the thing is, in a conversation and stuff, it's fine, you know. But when you have to have a routine and remember it and repeat it. I don't know if I could do that, you know. So I admire comics that can do that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And do you do any writing for publications too, like magazines, newspapers? Yeah.
Online.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's where it's at.
Yeah.
Online.
My site's called thepopfix.com.
Thepopfix.com.
Yeah. I mean, I write our video content. Mm-hmm. Well, I collaborate a lot with other comics and other people. But yeah, I mean, I do our video content. I host that show as well. And I write for the site. Whenever I'm feeling inspired, usually it's a list.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're broke in LA, it's okay to... ..
Yeah, everybody's broken.
Buy your makeup remover at Trader Joe's. That's okay, ladies out there.
Makeup remover at Trader Joe's. Do they carry that stuff?
They do.
Really?
Shocker. Didn't know that, right? No, they do. They carry deodorant. They carry toothpaste. They carry a lot. Yeah.
I hardly ever go there, so I don't know. You know, I just think of Trader Joe's food, you know.
Yeah, I'm always at Trader Joe's. It's like my jam. I live by Gelson's and the Trader Joe's, you know. And like the weeks when like I haven't been freelancing as much, I'm like, Trader Joe's.
Oh, man, that's funny. So cool. So now you're you've done some hosting jobs too, right? Where can people find you anywhere? Can people see some of the work you've done?
Yeah,
online?
On my channel on youtube.com/ErinAshleyD, ErinAshleyD. And I've been on Clever Movies. I do a panel show for them called It's a Wrap. Mm-hmm. That's also on YouTube. And I work for Celebville 360, which is like an African-centric entertainment show where I also have a gossip column there that I do weekly.
Mm-hmm.
And where else?
Wow, so you keep yourself pretty busy.
Oh, and Crave Online. Crave Online.
Crave Online.
Yeah, I was at K-Rock's Weenie Roast this past weekend.
K-Rock's Weenie Roast. What's that, like a barbecue type of
thing? That's what I was asking everyone. I was like, what the hell
a
weenie roast? Will somebody tell me? No, it's like a big concert that they have.
So oh, really?
Yeah, it's backstage, like interviewing all the bands, which was so much fun. Except I got stiffed by my favorite band.
Really?
Yeah.
Who?
Vampire Weekend.
Vampire Weekend.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean they didn't want to talk to you?
Well, I don't think they were doing, like, we were the only media outlet, and all the bands were supposed to talk to us, but there's certain bands that, you know, you don't have time, like, they get there a little bit earlier, you know what I mean, or their set is coming up,
right?
And it's, like, super inconvenient for them to do that at that moment in time, or, you know, like, the Black Keys are there, and they don't do interviews.
No?
So, yeah, so there's certain exceptions, I guess, but I was really, really looking forward to them. I was really hoping that I could interview Vampire Weekend because I love them so much.
Vampire Weekend, are they on YouTube or something? Let me find this.
They
I want to see what kind of music.
They just released an album.
I want to see what kind of music
it's
you listen
like
to.
It's kind of like Cape Cod, East Coast prep meets World
Weekend.
Pop.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Their last album, Modern Vampires of the City, just came out a couple days ago.
Let's see.
Their single is
That's
Diane
not on
Young.
There yet. Diane Young?
Diane Young.
Oh, Diane Young. Okay, here it is. Hold on.
Okay.
Let's play a little bit and see who Vampire Weekend is.
You talk sad like a fire leaves. I've got to find some little weeds. 4 or 5 minutes.
Okay, all right, I get it.
I get it.
Not my cup of tea, but okay.
Sam, you don't like Vampire Weekend?
I never
Come
even
on.
Heard of them. Are you kidding me?
Oh my gosh.
That must be an LA band, right?
No,
they're not.
They met in college. They were all at Columbia, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah, and so they're East Coast, and I don't know, I really respect those guys. I think they're really, really smart. I feel like they got famous doing a type of pop that was like a little niche in the market that didn't exist,
right?
You know, and I think they really really like rode that train and just blew up. They were probably one of the most popular indie pop bands.
Really?
Out there.
How
yeah.
did you discover them?
Honestly, through my brother. My little brother, like I said, is in music, and so he's always introducing me to stuff. And I remember we were somewhere on a summer vacation, like a family vacation type of deal.
Uh-huh.
And he started playing one of their songs. I think it was a Cape Cod Kwasa Kwasa. And I was like, what is this? This is so much fun. I just want to listen to the song and like jump around and, you know, feel like a white girl. I don't know. Like a cashmere sweater. I don't know. I was really, really digging it, though. And so it's kind of how I got introduced to them. And ever since then, I've kind of been following
Yeah, it
their
is
career.
Kind of a special beat to it. You know, it sounds like reggae almost, no?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
what
yeah.
We were
they're reggae
to.
Influenced.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So I wasn't that wrong about it.
Yeah, but listen to their first album.
Really? I'll check them out. I mean, you know, it doesn't sound bad. You know, it's not like all that screaming music.
I bet you'd actually really like the first album.
Really?
Yeah, I would bet money.
I'll check it out. Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. The first album was called what?
I think it was just called Vampire Weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll look them up. I probably would have never heard of them, but now that you got my interest all, you know, I'll check it out for sure.
Okay.
You know. So, cool. Well, so we know pretty much everything about you now, right?
Every little thing.
Every little thing.
Everything
we didn't leave any stone unturned.
Need to know about me. There's nothing else.
Nothing else, huh?
To my personality or history.
Yeah.
At all.
So I did want to ask you, did you travel to other places too? I mean...
Yeah, I've been... Well, okay.
Well, so you went to Oxford too.
Yes.
What were you doing there?
I was studying British politics.
Really?
Parliamentary debate. Yes,
wow.
I was.
And how did you end up doing that? I mean, where did you get that interest?
To be honest, I just wanted to go to Oxford.
Yeah.
I was like, how do I make this happen? I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, I just wanted to go.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I don't care what I study.
Yeah.
But, you know, because at the time, I thought that I'd be studying something in the communications field.
Right.
I thought, well, you know, British politics and parliamentary debate, like, it's kind of, you know,
yeah,
it'd be something helpful for me to know if I wanted to go into media, if I had to talk about those things, you know, so... I kind of ended up just on a whim taking
yes.
those classes, but it was a blast. I love Oxford, and
yeah.
I love England. I love
England
that city is
nice.
Fun because it's such a college town, and Oxford is such a well-known establishment university that it's
right.
very multicultural. There's so many people from all over the world.
Right.
You know, there's so many different kinds of students that are there studying, and it was an incredible time.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun.
But that must be a huge school, right? Do you know how many students?
Oh my
they
God,
have?
It's insane. There's like they take up a whole city. I'm not
wow.
joking. And there's like I don't
like
know
UCLA,
if you know about them, but
right?
they have like 24, 26 schools.
Really?
Like small schools within Oxford. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they're all like super small and
wow.
tiny and specialized in their own.
They have to drive
things,
to get from one side to the other, like UCLA, right?
You can walk wherever
yeah.
you want.
Yeah.
But no, it's really cool because Oxford owns that whole city pretty much.
Wow.
It's so beautiful. When you walk down the streets, you feel like you're walking like down a piece of history.
Right.
You know?
No,
you're like,
absolutely.
Looking around the buildings thinking, God, oh my God, these have been here for so much longer than I've been on this earth.
That's, yeah.
That is crazy. Because in America, nothing's really that old.
Right.
You know, especially on the West Coast, nothing
right.
is really that old. Like, you see
no.
something that's old, and it's like, oh, this is here in 1912. And you're like, what? Okay, that's really not that old.
Yeah.
Like, I have relatives that were alive in 1912. They're still alive now. You
right.
know, let's, like, talk about, like, 1200.
No,
like
I know. Even the missions they built here, I mean,
yeah.
they all look new, you know?
Yeah, they do. I know. I'm like, what? Did Frank Lloyd Wright design this? Like, what's going on at this mission? Yeah, nothing
yeah.
is really that old.
That's true. So that's why they say California doesn't have a lot of culture, but I think we do. It's just a different kind.
Oh,
know?
Yeah. I mean, we have yeah. nature.
Yeah.
California is so beautiful.
And it is beautiful, you know?
Has a lot to offer. I think
yeah.
California is amazing. Yeah, mm. but you're right. It is kind of like a different type of
yeah.
culture. It's a California
it is.
Culture.
And I love Europe, you know? I mean, there's just so many different places to see. And, of course, the history, like you said, you know, there's just so much going on there.
Right.
And, excuse me. And they're a lot like us, you know? It's not like you go to... Asia to India, and people are totally different from us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's easier to go to those places. I don't know that I could go to India or something, you know.
You've
I
never
just,
been to India?
No, I've never been to India. Have you?
I have not, but I have a cousin and his mm-hmm. girlfriend that have, like, basically become expats.
Really?
Yeah, they're just, and they just
wow.
live in India.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're studying, like yoga.
Yeah,
and,
I can imagine.
Like,
that's...
monkery.
Yeah.
Like, how do you spell? Well, not spell.
Ayurveda.
Yeah.
All these things. Yeah.
It's
wow.
really interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't have any attraction to go to India. I would like to go to Japan, I think. You know, that
I
sounds
love
intriguing.
Japan.
Yeah. Sounds intriguing to me. But one of my favorite places was South Africa. You know, I mean, that is like just beautiful there. And I lived there for about a year and I traveled there. And it was just amazing, you know, when you go camping and on the mountains and water streams and everything. And then you go to Cape Town. But it's very unsafe there now. You know, it's very
yeah.
violent there. So I think in every country where you change the form of of the government, just like in Russia now. They're still having problems, you know, going through a transition and everything. So,
yeah.
So that's what happens, you know. People don't know how to behave anymore, and, you know, suddenly they have a lot of freedom they didn't have before, so they start going crazy, you know. I mean, they carjack people all the time there. They invade your home. They tie you up and steal everything you own and things like that. You know, it's very scary.
Yeah,
there.
It's like Guyana.
Yeah.
Same things happen there. It's the same type of weird a country that has gone through political unrest and,
right.
You know, it was colonized and then, you know, like the government came. I don't know. It's kind of one of those weird.
Yeah.
It has a really, really interesting history. But, yeah, I think it leads to a lot of problems.
Right. Yeah, because people don't know. Like, look, in Iraq, for example, you know, I mean, the people had a dictator. They knew how to work. Yeah, it was tough and everything, but people knew their place, you know. Now, look, there's like no dictator or anything, and people don't know how to behave, you know, because I think when you live under a dictatorship, there's a lot of, that you're not responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
So then suddenly you're on your own, you know, an individual and stuff, and you're like, what do I do now? You know, I need to take care of myself.
Yeah.
So I think that happens, and people start going crazy, you know. So, yeah. But did you see that that murder in London 2 days ago?
You
with
know,
the guy that butchered the soldier.
I heard about it and I read about it a little bit yesterday, but I
yeah.
didn't.
Yeah, you got to see the video. I mean, this guy like was holding a knife and a meat cleaver.
Yeah.
And he was soaked in blood. And he's like preaching to people saying you'll never be safe, blah blah blah, and they just hacked the guy to death, you know.
And
it's just
whole
so
thing?
Yeah.
You can watch this
well, no,
whole
no,
thing?
They didn't show you how they hacked him, but they showed the guy afterwards with all the blood on him talking about it, you know. So man, that was sad.
Yeah,
that
that's
was
really
sad
horrifying.
Stuff, you know?
I can't believe this is the world we live in right now.
I know, and people are just so. Ruthless sometimes, you know, that they just don't care, you know. There's a couple things I wanted to bring up here. I guess in Utah, this kid, he's 15 years old. He's got adopted brothers and sisters, 4 and 10, and I guess what he did was he stabbed them to death in their house. A 15-year-old stabbing to death a 4 and a 10-year-old stepbrothers. Now, yeah, and this was like the oldest of 6 children. And, yeah, I mean, this is like yesterday or something, you know. And I guess the father was in Alabama. I don't know where the mother was at the time. She called 911 and she found the 4-year-old son dead. And, and then they found the other son dead in the lower part of the house. And, you know, so then they found out it's a 15-year-old boy, man. And just imagine the, you know, I mean, he probably got jealous, you know, of the stepbrothers, and because he didn't do this to his natural siblings, only to these people, to these kids. So
how old were the... The siblings, one was four and
10.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and he's 15. So now, what do you do to someone like that? I mean, would you try him as an adult?
Wow, I don't know.
I mean, at 15, don't you think they know right from wrong?
I do. I think
except,
at 15,
you know, they're not. I mean, they don't have the right to give consent on anything. But at the same time,
it gets so complicated in the eyes of the law at that point. But I mean. God, I think that is so horrible, and
yeah.
I think there's no, I mean, that's double homicide. It's
yeah, yeah, for a little kid, you know. I mean, your
it's
whole
so
life
sad.
Is gone. Yeah,
yeah, it's so sad to think that.
Yeah, I mean, how screwed up does a kid have to be to do this? You know, that's what I'm saying. You
yeah,
know?
I mean, I think he definitely
really
probably had
a lot of issues.
A lot
yeah.
of issues. He's
yeah, they said he ran away
and...
from home once. So,
well, what about the parents, too? I mean, if the parents knew that he was dealing with something, don't you think that they are a little bit responsible to maybe put their child in therapy? Or
well, I don't know that they knew. I don't know that there was any signs before that. Yeah, I don't think there were any signs. I mean, yeah, the kid ran away once and, you know, but who knows, you know. It's mind-boggling how people can do that, you know. It's just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know who Amanda Bynes is?
Of course I know who Amanda Bynes is.
Who doesn't know now who didn't know before?
I love Amanda Bynes so much.
She's amazing. I mean, she's so talented.
She's so talented. She's so funny.
She is.
She's an amazing
I remember when my kids were growing up, we would watch her on Nickelodeon, you know?
Yeah, she's great.
But now all she can do is get in trouble all the time.
I know.
And now Amanda. Now this time she got busted for, I guess, in her building in New York. She was smoking pot in the lobby. So the doorman, whoever, calls the police and reports this. So the manager, I guess, called and reported that there's an illegal substance in the lobby. So what happened is she went upstairs to her apartment, and I guess some cops came, and she let them in. And they saw bong and everything, all the paraphernalia. So she starts throwing it all out the window while they're there, right? So
first of all, that's a huge safety hazard.
It is. I mean, and they busted her for that too,
for
endangerment.
Yeah, what's going on if someone's walking down the street and it's like a bong hits you on the head?
Exactly.
Amanda, come on.
So, I guess marijuana is not legal there, so... criminal possession of marijuana, how can that be? I mean, doesn't New York have medical marijuana already?
But I don't think it was criminal possession of marijuana. I think the felony was tampering with evidence, which happened when she threw that bong out the window.
Right.
I think that is the felony, but I think that it's probably a misdemeanor to have marijuana. I mean, is that a felony?
No, they're saying criminal possession of marijuana.
Really?
Yeah, they're saying tampering with physical evidence, which is what she threw out the window.
Right.
Reckless endangerment, which is what you talked about now, and criminal possession of marijuana. So, I don't know what that means, man, but I know in California we don't have that shit anymore.
Okay, here's my question to everyone listening to you as well. Right. Is Amanda Bynes officially the new Lindsay Lohan?
Yeah. I think she has been for a while, right?
I know. Lindsay Lohan's in rehab now. She's taking care of herself to a certain extent. I hope.
Yeah.
And now it's like Amanda Bynes.
Yeah, I know. Lindsay Lohan is trying to come clean now. I don't know what her problem is.
I hope both of these women are able to figure their lives out at this point, because I truly believe that they are both very talented.
Right.
And I think that they both have a shot at recovering, and I'm not just talking about drug use or addiction. I'm talking about their careers.
Yeah, and all that
crazy
behavior. I
think that the people want to be on their side. I think people have given them so many chances, and that, I mean, Lindsay Lohan obviously for a lot longer than Amanda Bynes, but I feel like people want to see them get better and to do well and to do things in their career that aren't predicated on this existence of creating some sort of media circus.
Yeah. This is like. I think this is always the result of being a child actor, being famous.
Yeah.
You get so much attention, and then suddenly, you don't know what to do with yourself. I think sudden fame on anyone, especially on adults, can be hard. So imagine how it is for kids, They don't know how to handle being famous all of a sudden. Everybody wants to be with you. Everybody wants a piece of you. And you make a lot of money, and then suddenly you don't. So you get into trouble, I think. And just look how many child actors have gotten into trouble, because of behavior like this, acting out and stuff. So, I don't think the marijuana thing was a big deal, but if they say it was, what can I say, And then lastly, I guess the Boy Scouts voted to allow youth to join when they're gay. So to allow gay kids... But they will not allow gay leaders. So that was the vote there. And I'm sure that's going to change too. But at the same time, I think we've really made a lot of progress as far as gays. Same-sex marriage, things like that, equality and all that. So I think this nation is moving in the right direction, But there's still a lot of... a lot of difficulty. I'm sure you've got some gay friends and stuff, right?
Oh, so many.
Yeah,
family members. I'm a huge supporter of gay rights equality. And, it's civil rights.
Right.
It's really about civil rights. And
it really is. Yeah.
I think it's important that we, that we recognize this and we rectify decisions that in the past have limited what certain groups can or cannot do.
Yeah. That's true.
I think you're right. I think we're on the right path.
Yeah, Yeah, so as long as they legalize being gay and marijuana, this country's just fine. We'll all be
Oh my God, I like how you just like put those in the same category right there.
Yeah.
Sam.
All right. Well, Erin, darling, thank you so much for joining me, darling.
How many people
are giving you like hard time about this? Or not a hard time, but teasing you about it. All the time, right?
I mean, I have lots of nicknames. Darling. Oh, my darling. How many times I've heard that? Skip to the loo, my darling. I don't know. There's a lot of pop culture references that fit so nicely in with my name. And you know what? I'll take it.
Yeah,
I'm fine
with
it.
What the heck, yeah.
I'm embracing it.
Whatever gets you famous. There you go.
Hopefully that will. Something. Hopefully something will.
All right. Well, thank you. You're a lot of fun. You're really funny. And thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Sam. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. Everybody, thank you for joining us. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. We'll be back on Tuesday, so be well.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. To get in contact with the show, please send email to info@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.